Be thou my vision, my blessed Lord, almighty God and King of the seven heavens. Be thou my thinking from dawn to dusk, in the brightest of days, in the darkest of nights. Be thou my speaking in each word that I say, may it reflect the depths of your wisdom. Be thou my Father, may I be thy child. May we be together as one. Be thou my vision. Be thou my protector, be thou my shield, comfort me in my hour of need. Be thou my guardian, my guiding light, console me in my time of loss. Be thou my savior, my special angel, heal me when I am broken. Be thou the love of my heart, all that I am because of thee. Be thou my vision. Be thou my vision. Be thou my vision.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this live radio broadcast. Today is the 18th of May, year 2016, and we've entitled today's program, Circumcision. Before we begin this touchy subject, we do dedicate this program to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, who is the great I am. We also dedicate this program to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, or Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. And please note that I said Paleo Hebrew and not Yiddish. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. If you wish to find out the different things that we recommend as far as sites and look at the various articles that we've posted, or if you wish to help us with a donation, please go to our website, byyahwehsdesign.com. If you have a comment, question, or constructive criticism, please use this email address, bydpastordan@yahoo.com. And eventually, prayerfully, we're going to figure out a way to take callers and text messages at some point on Eurofolk Radio. If it does exist, I'm not sure how to do it, so I do ask for your patience with that. I do miss not having live callers, so eventually we should have that all figured out. two quick quotes, and then we're going to get into scripture for our study tonight. Thomas Jefferson said, "When injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty." Wise man, Thomas Jefferson. This is what Thomas Paine had to say. "The strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear of resistance." In other words, your fear causing you to be a hearer only of Yahweh's word and not a doer, your fear gives strength and power to despots and tyrants. Now you know why our enemy controls the media and why the media is 100% of the time pumping out fear porn, disinformation, misinformation to keep you off your balance, to keep you confused, and to cause agitation. My recommendation for the House of Israel, meaning the white race, and for our fellow inhabitants of this plane called Earth, because Yahweh's law, as the rain, falls on the non-Israelite as well as the Israelite. So, I would recommend to all to turn off their Talmud vision. Some people call it television, but TV stands for Talmud vision because they control it. And you will find that you will have a lot more peace of mind. You will also have more time to get things done. It is a great sucker of your energy, your time, your willpower, your sanity. It's a big black hole sitting in the middle of your house, sucking your life essence out of you, your intellect, and pumping into your house the garbage straight out of hell that Satan's kids thinks is normal. If you look into a television, you're looking into the eyes of Satan. If you're watching that program, you're watching what he and his children consider normal. Therefore, there is great tribulation amongst the believers, as this is a source of irritation to us all. We're going to talk about the rite of circumcision as it is practiced. I've talked about this before in gatherings, and occasionally it just popped up for a moment, but tonight, for the first time, I'm going to actually do somewhat of a study. Using just scripture, it's somewhat confusing, and I'm going to show you the verses that support that. But a lot of tonight is going to be my opinion, my judgment, based on dead reckoning, empirical evidence, as well as scripture. So just bear me out. Don't get in a huff, don't get in a puff, thinking that I am trying to go against Yahweh's law, because that would be the last thing on earth I would ever want to do. But just hear me out. And again, if you have constructive criticism, if you wish to share, please send to that email address, bydpastordan@yahoo.com. I will be glad to enter into a discourse with you over the subject matter. And if you can show me to be in error, I will be glad to come on the radio and beg forgiveness and straighten out the situation. After all, it is the truth and nothing but the truth that I seek, and I believe all of those who call themselves of Yahweh should seek the same thing. So now we're going to get into this subject. We're going to cover other things tonight. We're not going to spend a whole 90 minutes on this, but whatever time it takes. So we're going to go down through some Bible verses, and then we're going to go into a discussion of what I consider rational thinking on the subject. And let me say up front that, again, this is my findings. I'm not claiming to be a seer or a prophet of Yahweh who can change Yahweh's commandments. I would never want to do that. However, I believe we are in error, and I will explain why I believe that and why I believe the Father does not condone circumcision. Now, I know a whole lot of people disagree with that, but that's okay. Again, just hear me out. We'll start off in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of Yahweh. In other words, whether you are or are not is not important when you're talking about keeping the commandments. The commandments. So just keep following on here as we go down through these different verses. And again, we're going to do a little dissertation here at some point as to the logic of why I believe we should not be, in my opinion, mutilating our children. Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now the apostles and the brothers, Adelphoi, we've talked about that before, from the wombs. In fact, the World English Bible even has a footnote here for the word brothers, and it says, where context allows, this could also be correctly translated brothers and sisters or siblings. And again, we talked about the fact this is from the Greek word Adelphos, which means from the womb. So that would go along with the footnote. So now the apostles and the other brothers of the womb, meaning whites, who were in Judea, heard that the Gentiles, meaning those not of Judea, not living in Judea, had also received the word of Yahweh. When Peter had come up to Jerusalem, those who were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went into uncircumcised men and ate with them." Now, as we go forward, I want you to keep in mind something that I realized as I was reading all this. There's a lot of times we read in Scripture when it talks about those of the circumcision, and we automatically think he's talking about other Israelites. But we had imposters amongst us. And these imposters, much as they are today, contend the importance of this circumcision ritual. So even 2,000 years ago, when Peter had come up into Jerusalem, the men of the circumcision, now I'm sure some of our men were amongst these, but just think for a minute what I'm trying to say here. Who is it of the circumcision today that contends with Jacob Israel, meaning the white race? Who are those people? The same people that Peter was concerned about. Again, keep this in mind as we read further into the word here. Then we can skip over here to Romans chapter 2, starting at verse 25. For circumcision indeed profits, if you are a doer of the law, but if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Now remember that. If therefore the uncircumcised keep the ordinances of the law, won't his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? The answer to that is yes. Won't the uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfills the law, judge you who with the letter, which means the law, and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a, they have the word Jew in here, but of course that's a false word. He is not a Judahite who is one outwardly. neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Judahite, or a member of the tribes of Judah, who is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from Yahweh. That's kind of a lengthy, somewhat convoluted discourse going on here in the book of Romans. But if you interpret it, he's basically trying to say that there are those who consider their circumcision to set themselves above others, even though they are breakers of Yahweh's law. I would dare say that the modern day churches are full of these people. I know I've met quite a few. And he's trying to say here that even if you have all that, yet you transgress Yahweh's law, then you might as well never have done it, because it means nothing. And we've got other verses that we're going to read here that substantiate that. Some of it in the old parchments. Here's Deuteronomy, Old Testament, chapter 10, verse 15 through 17. Only Yahweh had a delight in your fathers to love them, and he chose their offspring after them, even you, above all peoples, as it is today. He's talking to us, the white race, the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 16, circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For Yahweh your God, Elohim, he is the Elohim God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, El Shaddai, the mighty and the awesome, who does not respect persons nor take rewards. Now, this is in the Old Testament, folks. I want you to start thinking for a little minute here, because we're gonna have like a conjecture on my part, but I want you to remember these verses as we get into that discussion. Again, verse 16 says what here again? And this is in the old parchment, the books of the law. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart. Your heart. And be no more stiff-necked, meaning stubborn. Boy, oh boy, I've been in the Judeo-Christian churches, and whew, we need a heavy-duty dose of that. Now we're going to stay in Deuteronomy, but we're going to go to chapter 30, verses 5 through 7. Yahweh, your Elohim God, will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you will possess it. He will do you good and increase your numbers more than your fathers. Yahweh, your Elohim God, will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring. The footnote here, of course, says seed, literal seed, children. To love Yahweh, your Elohim God, with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Yahweh, your Elohim God, will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. I found that quite interesting that in the book of the law, even though there's verses that do talk about circumcision, there seems to be a contradiction, at least in my mind. And I've never had anybody properly explain this away. And therefore, that's why I'm bringing it up tonight. Because in my mind, hear me out, we've got more to read here, but at this point, I want to explain. In my mind, my Heavenly Father, in all of my 62 years of life and of study, for a good 40 years of that, reading His Word, studying it, I do not see anywhere the Father makes mistakes, especially when I get into the naturopathy studies in the health classes I took, and the miracles of life and the miracles of our body were explained in such simple terms. And it reinforces this word that Father Yahweh is perfect. He made a perfect machine if it's properly taken care of. It's called the human body. It is a phenomenal machine. The fact that we are still here on this planet speaks of the phenomenal nature of the body because we're doing everything we can to kill ourselves off. And yet we're still here by the grace of God Almighty. So why would a Father in heaven create this perfect body and 8 days after you're born, mutilate it? And for you that don't know what circumcision is, you need to study it because it is a mutilation. Now, here's another reason why I'm concerned about this. If it was a simple process and was never done incorrectly, you might have a case for it. If it didn't cause any harm, never did any harm, etc., then I could see where Father may have commissioned us to do this. My contention is that we are misinterpreting these words and that our enemy has picked up on this practice. And in fact, we are emulating the children of Satan when we do this to our children. Just my contention here, and I need you to hear me out. Now, I'm not condemning people that have had this done to them because I would be condemning myself, but I am trying to get something fixed that I believe to be terribly wrong. So here again, Father has made this beautiful child fully equipped to go into the world and to do the things that Yahweh intended us to do. And immediately, he is put on a board and strapped down and mutilated. Now that in and of itself is bad enough, but here's another point to consider. Doesn't that flesh serve a purpose? It most certainly does. And again, when you go into the world of natural health, and you understand the functionality of all of the different systems of the body, it sticks out in your mind even more that this is just nonsensical. Now, I've heard the arguments way back when that we're unclean if we leave that flesh there. We tend to have disease and uncleanness. Well, ladies, you're equipped the exact same way. Is that how you are? Are you walking around diseased? You don't know how to properly cleanse yourself? Because in a way, a smaller way, but still the same way, you're of the same condition. Now, I don't think any of you are advocating the mutilation of your bodies, and I certainly don't advocate it. So why are we doing it to our young men? Again, I'm proposing this for discussion amongst Jacob Israel. Because again, I believe we do a disservice to our youth, we do a disservice to our men, and we do a disservice to our Heavenly Father when we mutilate the bodies He gave us. Now, here's another case and another point of view for this. The scriptures tell us that Father told us that our bodies are a holy temple containing the Holy Spirit, a holy temple that we were to take care of, very seriously take care of it, so much so that he told us not to put corruptible things within this body. For instance, there is a prohibition against tattooing. Now again, let me remind you of something here. Tattooing is a whole lot less serious than mutilation of a young boy's privates. And yet we're told not even to tattoo. We're also told not to do certain things with our hair in the way that it's cut, in the way that it lays on our heads. We're not to do piercings. And I don't believe the Father's talking just about for earrings, but he's talking about all these piercings that all of a sudden have become a fad. Piercing of our body is condemned as a practice of the pagans. So, being a thinking man, I was sitting here and I study and I'm going, wait a minute, our Father doesn't like us mutilating this beautiful body. He doesn't want us to tattoo it. He doesn't want us to put holes in it. He doesn't want us to put drugs and chemicals in it. He wants us to be very careful of the type of food that we eat. And yet, a sign of our fellowship is the mutilation of my body. Excuse me, but somebody needs to explain that one to me. Nobody has yet. 62 years, I'm still waiting, because that just doesn't make sense. And again, I'm not trying to sow discord amongst the brethren. I don't know where everybody comes down on the side of this issue. But this is an important thing as far as I am concerned. We have a great number of our men who are uncircumcised, and yet they feel that there's something missing because of all of this hype about circumcision. I've told brethren at different meetings and gatherings that they should not worry about it, just as these scriptures that we're reading, and we have more to read here, say that the Father is more concerned on the condition of your heart, your spirit, than he is about whether you mutilate yourself. So keep that in mind as we go forward. Romans chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. Is this blessing then pronounced on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while he was in uncircumcision, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they might be in uncircumcision. That righteousness might also be accounted to them. Again, kind of convoluted the way it was translated into the English. In the Greek, it makes a heck of a lot more sense. But he's just basically saying, you're getting all worked up over this particular rite, when again, it's righteousness that matters. And we got more to substantiate this here in just a minute. Now, that was out of Romans chapter 4. This is taken starting at verse 2 in Romans chapter 2. Therefore, you are without excuse, O man, O Adam, whoever you are who judge, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. We know that the judgment of Yahweh is according to truth against those who practice such things. Do you think this, O Adam man, who judges those who practice such things and do the same, that you will escape the judgment of Yahweh? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and patience, not knowing that the goodness of Yahweh leads you to repentance? But according to your hardness and unrepentant heart, are you treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath, revelation, and the righteous judgment of Yahweh, who will pay back to everyone according to their works. To those who by patience In well-doing, seek for glory, honor, and incorruptibility, eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, will be wrath and indignation, oppression and anguish on every man who does evil, to the Judahite first, and also to the Hellene, which is translated the Greeks. Greek-speaking people were called Hellenes, and that is based on Helen of Troy. The Greeks were never called Greeks in that day. They were called Hellenes, and they spoke Greek. But glory, honor, and peace go to every man who does good, to the Judahite, tribe of Judah, first, and also to the Greek speakers, meaning those not of Judah. For there is no partiality with Yahweh, for as many as have sinned without law will also perish without the law. As many as have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before Yahweh, but the doers of the law will be justified. In this translation, there's a parenthetical statement here. For when Gentiles, Hellenes, not of the tribes of Judah, who do not have the law, do by nature the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience testifying with them, and their thoughts among themselves accusing or else excusing them. End of parentheses. So, but the doers of the law will be justified in the day when God, Elohim, will judge the secrets of men according to my good news or the gospel by Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. So my point again is that, and there's a lot more scriptures that we could go into, but the scriptures are constantly talking about the fact that our Father cares more about our faith, our spirit, our attributes, etc., the conduct of our lives, the adherence to his law, then he cares about this ritual. I can't find, and I've been searching for a long time, I can't find a lot of resources to substantiate what I'm trying to propose here, other than the fact that, again, these scriptures and many others attest to the importance, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The importance wasn't on the ritual as much as Yahweh was judging the hearts of men by their spirits. And again, he references the law written on our hearts. Why is that? Why is that? Because this written law contained within the book we call the Bible did not exist until a few hundred years ago. These words weren't in any kind of form that the average Israelite could read or take with them and study. They didn't have books. They had the teachings of the scribes. They had the teachings of the priests. Later on, the teachings of the bards amongst the Anglo-Saxons as they migrated through Europe, carrying the law of Yahweh in the music and in the recitations, the verbal recitations at different gatherings, and of course at feast days. That's what the feast was all about, was to hear the law. Because on a daily basis, they did not hear the law. And that's why Yahweh says that I will put my law into your hearts. And again, this is something that has bothered me for a long time, because it doesn't always go well, people. Again, I've studied natural health for a long time, and as part of our studies and some of my own research, I've read the testimonies of men who have had horrendous outcomes by botched circumcisions. And you can only imagine, knowing what the procedure is all about, you can only imagine some of the mistakes that could have been made and what they had done to that little boy. Now, this is what enters my mind. What was the purpose? In other words, these men who are testifying as to what their life was like when these doctors botched these circumcisions, what it did to them, and again, I say, why? Why were they put in that position? For health reasons? No. You can be perfectly healthy and not have a circumcision. There are millions of uncircumcised men that can tell you they don't have a problem. Now, if you're an unclean person, you're going to have a lot more problems than just issues in that area. So we're not going to talk about them. They're unclean. Yahweh's people are clean. When I was a boy going to the church and listening to mom and dad and their teachings during the average day on the farm, it was often said cleanliness is next to godliness. So there was great emphasis on hygiene and bathing and proper techniques of bathing. And so again, I'm talking about believers here. Unbelievers who don't practice cleanliness procedures, yeah, they're going to have all kinds of problems in all kinds of different areas. We're not talking about that. We're talking about our people. Going forward, there's nothing we can do about the past. There's nothing we can do about men such as me whose parents made that decision for them. And that's my other beef about this whole ritual. This has a tremendous impact and potentially negative impact on the child, and yet the child has no say. Has no say whatsoever. This decision's made for him before he reaches the age of accountability and could make the decision for himself. Again, that does not follow. In Scripture, all that I read, all that I understand of our Heavenly Father, this does not fit. Not by the way I think. And again, if you have a counterposition, I'm going to look at it, but I'm going to tell you, I've been looking at this for a long time, and you're going to have a tough time convincing me that the mutilation of our children is service to Yahweh. Going to be tough, very tough, especially in light of these different scriptures and even common sense to me. I've loved Yahweh, my Heavenly Father, since I was a small boy. I've been in communion with the Father since I was a small boy. And nowhere at any time did this ever make sense to me. So again, if you have any pros and cons, please feel free to share them with me. But enough of that for now. But the main thing I want people to know is those of our faith and our race, if you feel that, as I do, that is not something you should do, I want our people to understand there should be no guilt. Because we have people that would condemn that. I've heard it, believe me. I've been in the assemblies where some of our people are just amazing to me. They claim to love Yahweh, and the things they say and do to our brothers and sisters just astound me. So I've been there when they press their own opinions on other people. And I've had young people come up and ask me about this particular issue, and I've told them often, it's your decision. You have to answer to the Father, just as that verse we said, in the day of his coming, when all is revealed, you will stand before the Father and give an accounting. All of us will do that. So ultimately, it's your decision, but I'll give you my opinion. Number one, that little boy should have the right to make up his own mind as to what he wants done with his gift from the Father, namely his body. His body is a holy temple. He should have some say in it. But again, it's your choice. But also, I want you to understand, there is no guilt. Do not let these automatons convince you through guilt and pressure to do it if your sincere belief is that it should not be done. I hope that all makes sense. All right, we're going to go on to another issue right now. This was sent to me by a dear sister in Yahweh, and this is a quote. I'm not going to tell you who this is a quote is. Let me just read the quote, and then the rest of the story will be who said this. My feelings as a Christian points me to my Lord and Savior as a fighter. It points me to the man who once in loneliness, surrounded by a few followers, recognized these Jews for what they were and summoned men to fight against them, and who, God's truth, was greatest not as a sufferer but as a fighter. In boundless love as a Christian and as a man, I read through the passage which tells us how the Lord at last rose in his might and seized the scourge or whip to drive out of the temple the brood of vipers and adders. Adders are a type of snake. How terrific was his fight against the Jewish poison. Today, after 2,000 years, with deepest emotion, I recognize more profoundly than ever before the fact that it was for this that he had to shed his blood upon the cross. As a Christian, I have no duty to allow myself to be cheated, but I have the duty to be a fighter for truth and justice. And if there is anything that could demonstrate that we are fighting rightly, it is the distress that daily grows. For as a Christian, I have also a duty to my own people. And when I look on my people, I see them work and toil and labor, and at the end of the week they have only for their wages wretchedness and misery. When I go out in the morning and see these men standing in their queues and look into their pinched faces, then I believe I would be no Christian, but a very devil, if I felt no pity for them. If I did not, as did our Lord 2,000 years ago, turn against those by whom today this poor people are plundered and exposed. So now that you've heard the quote, have any ideas as to who may have quoted that, or said that, I should say? That was in a speech given in Munich on April 12, 1922, by none other than Adolf Hitler. When countering a political opponent, Count Lerchenfeld, oh boy, that's a good Irish name, Lerchenfeld, sounds kind of Jewish to me, who opposed anti-Semitism on his personal Christian feelings. It was published in My New Order, quoted in Free Thought Today in April of 1990. So Adolf Hitler, countering a political opponent, Count Lerchenfeld, the Jew, who claimed to be a Christian and deadly opposed to anti-Jewish sentiment. Imagine that. So, lots of things going on. And again, I would hope and pray that at some point I can figure out how to take calls, or at the very least text messages from non-trolls at some point. But in the meantime, if you do have a comment or question, send it to bydpastordan@yahoo.com. And what I can do is check that email address from time to time during the program and see if anybody had sent anything. Okay. I know it's a little bit backward when we did have TalkShoe for a while that was working and everything was real time, both calls and text. But unfortunately, TalkShoe is not working for me. And that's rather a bizarre circumstance how that all came about. So I've not really challenged it too much because the way it happened, it's almost like Father told me not to deal with TalkShoe as far as the live broadcast. I do keep an archive there, but don't do the live broadcast there. So at least for the time being. Now, we did talk about the turning off the Talmud vision and the other sources of electronic interference that are coming into your homes by the Antichrist. I sure hope you're paying attention to that. I know for me, life is a whole lot simpler, a whole lot easier to deal with, get a whole lot more done by not doing that, by not paying attention to Satan's kids trying to eke into my house. There are good things happening. I'm getting reports of that anyway. Interestingly enough, there has been some recent reports that the U.S. dollar has started to enter into that time period that we've talked about for quite some time now, where other countries are not accepting U.S. dollars. I was told by one of my sources that there were freighters, large shipping vessels off the coasts of the United States that had dropped anchor and refused to unload their supplies or their cargo until they are paid in something other than U.S. notes. Now, I don't have a confirmation on, or any other details on that. However, think about this. It fits. We know that sooner or later, nobody's going to accept our fiat Federal Reserve notes because they're based on nothing. I mean, they're just computer digits at this point. There's not even cash. So the rest of the world's not going to be stupid forever and accept Jewish bogus money made out of thin air. They duped the people in the United States for a long time and our brothers and sisters in Canada. They duped us into believing that they can do that. But the rest of the world is wising up. Would to God that we would wise up here. So that would kind of make sense. We do know the Baltic Dry Index is at some of the lowest values it's ever had in the history of that index. The Baltic Dry Index, of course, is a little bit like the stock exchange. It is a chart, a number that represents the amount of shipping going back and forth across the oceans of the world. So it's kind of an indicator of how much material was being shipped between countries via large ocean-going vessels. And again, it's at the lowest level it's ever been at any time and does not seem to be recovering. So we have very little being shipped. And what is getting here is now demanding currency or to be paid in something other than Federal Reserve notes, which are just that, promissory notes based on nothing, backed by nothing except the promise of a Jew. And I don't know about you, but that carries no weight whatsoever. So people are waking up to that. Now, how does that fit in with the Bible? Well, we've read in the book of Revelations, when Babylon burns, when Yahweh brings down Mystery Babylon, which is this whole Rothschild international Jewish banking cabal, Pastor Eli does some great sermons, and in his book, The Great Impersonation, he talks about that, the eighth beast of Revelation in this international Jewish banking cartel. So this sort of fits. Because in Revelation, we read that the merchants are weeping and wailing as Babylon, Mystery Babylon, not the country called the United States of America. That's not burning, because Mystery Babylon is not our country. Our country is the people, and our natural resources. That's our nation. So this monster that has grown up amongst us is not what it's talking. That is what's going to be destroyed. Mystery Babylon. Mystery in the sense that it's not easily seen by the average person. Not that it's not capable of being seen, but the average person is just too busy going through the daily things of life. They don't take time to study or time to reason. But the Babylon, this Babylon, which comes from the word Babel or Babel in the Hebrew, and it means confusion. Confusion. Think about how perfect a name that is. And it's not just confusion. There is another part to that definition. It is confusion caused by admixture. Now, some of you might have to get your dictionaries out. Admixture is another name for miscegenation, mongrelization, hybridation. It is mixing things that do not belong together. That's admixture. Confusion caused by admixture. What kind of admixture do we have going on in the United States and around the world thanks to our Jewish sons of Satan? Well, let's see. They've debased the currency because Yahweh said gold and silver backed. These people think I can create it out of thin air and you should accept it. You see how that works? What other admixture do we have? Well, we've got the words of Christ and what was taught by the early fathers juxtaposed to the Judeo-Christian teachings of the modern-day churchianity churches, which are what? Whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. There's not a bit of truth in these Judeo-Christian churches teaching go along with the government because, after all, that's your little G God. They've set up an idol. They've created an idol for you. You're worshiping the creature rather than the creator, aren't you? Yes, you are. Do you see how it's an admixture? Instead of teaching what Christ said as identity does, they teach you lies and error. They set the sheep up for slaughter. What other admixtures do we have? Well, we've got the hybridization going on full tilt of our pets, cats and dogs, of our vegetables, especially on these corporate farms. They're hybridizing all kinds of things, trying to get things that were not created by our Father. We got hybridization of fabrics. Everything that Yahweh said not to do, we're in full steam mode to do it. It's almost like we're flaunting our noses. We're sticking our noses up to our Heavenly Father, basically saying, I don't care what you say. Mixing the holy with the unholy. What is one of the worst things that we have that's admixture from Mystery Babylon? Race mixing. Race mixing. Mystery Babylon is going to burn very, very quickly. The scripture in the English says in an hour. That it is destroyed, it's burning in an hour. In the Greek, it just meant in a short period of time, not literally an hour. It just means that we've been watching Adamic history go for thousands of years, but the destruction of Babylon is going to happen much, much quicker than that. Now, the other thing Revelation tells us is what? Well, as Babylon burns, who is doing the weeping and wailing? Yep, here again, it's the merchants. The merchants. As Babylon burns, it doesn't say you and me. The merchants. Hallelujah. I think they need to weep and wail. They've been putting one over on us for a long time. They've been in bed with the Jew, going along because, after all, making good money at it, right? That's why the doctors go along with the medical mafia, because there's good money in it. They know damn well that they're killing people, but there's money in it. Chemotherapy makes some damn good money. Radiation therapy, damn good money. Well, we're not going to tell the folks that we know what cancer is and is not, and that it's easily fixable. My God, can you even imagine how much money we would lose? See how that works? Or how about our misfits in Congress in Washington, D.C.? Talk about useless individuals. But it's the money, Dan. We can't get Obama thrown in jail for misprism, treason, and other impeachable offenses. We can't do that because, well, there's a lot of money involved. And besides that, they've got pictures of me, you know, sleeping with somebody I shouldn't have been with, or they got pictures of me with a little boy or girl, or they got pictures of me with my homosexual friends. What a bunch of misfits. You see how it goes? The evil, the perversion, because they worship a false god, money. They do Satan's bidding because they have no courage. Everybody's made mistakes. Everybody. But these quacks and charlatans who call themselves our elected officials and that they're there for the good of the country, what a joke that is. Come on, boys and girls. Again, fess up. You made mistakes? Well, fess up. But don't keep going with what the status quo is. It's leading this nation into ruination. Then again, that goes for everybody. We're not here to condemn. Yahweh will take care of that. Scripture says that we were not to root up the tares. Why? He said, because we might root up wheat, meaning there may be somebody worth saving amongst there, but as we look upon them as humans, we would say they deserve to die. Yahweh says, I will send my angelas, my messengers, to gather them up and bundle them for the fires, meaning we're going to have help. Praise Yahweh in bundling these people up. Praise Yahweh. I don't know what form that help comes in. It doesn't really matter. I don't really care what race, what country, how he does it, or whether he literally sends somebody beyond the firmament down here to assist us. What difference does it make? If it means the end of these creatures and what they're doing to mankind, you know, that brings up another point. People say, oh, we've got the great tribulation to go through. And just before the program, I was looking at the Greek word anyway, which is Strong's 2347. And it's interpreted as tribulation, but it could just as easily, been interpreted as anguish, burdened, persecution, or trouble. Now, here again, if you're a scholar, if you're a student of the word, this word has a root word in the Greek as well. The root word that it comes from means to crowd, as if you're in a room that's made for 20 people and you've crammed 30 in the room. Or, as Pastor Steve, who was on with Eli, was talking about the prisons today, which are ungodly. They need to be torn down. That they were often in prison cells that were, let's say, designed for 10 people. They've got 15 to 20 crammed in there. Or the prison itself was designed for, say, 1,000. They've got a prison population of 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. So you can picture, if you're crammed in that position, there's tribulation, there's anguish, there's a burden. Do you see? Do you think what these creatures are doing to us today is a burden? Do you feel a pressure as the evil rises up around you? I don't know about you, but I do. It burdens me. It causes me anguish. And people say, well, no, the great tribulation is going to be far worse. Why? Why? Oh, because there's a verse in there talking about people being beheaded and killed. Haven't you read your history books? Haven't you read what the Jew Bolshevik communist did to the white Christian Russian Men, women, and children during the Bolshevik Revolution, when those demons from hell nailed men, women, and children against buildings, they would take a husband and nail him to the side of his barn and make him watch while they raped his daughters and his wife, and they took knives and cut them apart and gutted them in front of him? You don't think that's tribulation? To the tune of tens of millions? Or you have to watch your family like the Ukrainians did die of starvation when the Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe? Because why? The Jews came in. Let's stop calling them communists or Russians. It was effing Jews, you idiots. Jews would come in at the point of a gun and steal all of their grain and take it back to Moscow and other places where the no good, lazy, rotten, filthy, degenerate Jew lives. Because he's too damn lazy to grow his own food, he'll steal it from us. He served two purposes. He got his grain to feed his sorry ass, and our Ukrainian brothers and sisters died by the millions. How would you like that? How would you like to watch your wife and your children, and you're a farmer growing far more grain than you need, and now you're watching them die? I call that tribulation. And they're not the only ones. Far more died. Or how about the Polish officers that we talked about here the other day at the Katyn Forest Massacre and at the other camps where the Reds, oh, that's another name for them. You mean Jews, the Bolshevik communist Jews, rounded up 22,000 of the best of the Polish society, soldiers, policemen, doctors, lawyers, professors, and butchered them, murdered them. 22,000. It was just a walk in the park. 22,000. And buried them in mass graves. And then blamed it on the Germans. Now, I don't know what planet you all come from, but the planet, the Earth that I stand on, that's tribulation. That's murder. Now let's talk about the Reds over in communist China. Do you think the millions that they destroyed might consider it tribulation? How about the Christian Palestinians in the bastard nation of It's a Lie? Because it is a lie. They're being murdered, shot down in cold blood, been going on for some time. Doesn't seem to bother the Christians in North America much. They're going on as if nothing's happening. Isn't that nice? Yep, you're comfy in your home. Christians around the world are being shot dead and some of them beheaded in certain Muslim countries. That's going on right now. Why are you looking to the future for it? It's happening right now. And we don't do a damn thing about it except sit here and talk about it. Talk, 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 talk. I've read enough eyewitness testimonials and history books, the works of Michael Walsh, the works of Michael King, which is a pseudonym, the works of Joe Cortina, and on and on and on. Eyewitnesses to the atrocities. And there have been many, many others committed by these despicable sons and daughters of Satan himself. Just like Christ told us, ye are of your Father, and his works you do. They sure as hell do. Don't be looking for a tribulation to come. You're in the middle of it. Now, Americans, they consider it to be of quite a anguish and burden that they're watching their 401ks being dismantled. And I got news for you. They're going to steal them from you. I never bought into any of that garbage promoted by this government, ever. It's not just the thieves that got the dirty, smudged faces and a mask over them that you got to worry about stealing from you. It's also smiling Jews in three-piece suits claiming to be from the government. A Jew has no right to be in my government. A Jew doesn't even have a right to be in this nation. My founding fathers didn't set up a plutocracy or a melting pot for other races. That's a Jew lie. You see how that works? You see, American whites now are hardly in anything. You look at the Negro Football League. That's what the NFL stands for, the Negro Football League. There's hardly whites in it anymore. You look at the National or the Negro Baseball League. Okay, they used to have a league of their own. Whites had their league. The blacks had their league. Everybody was happy. But the Jews came along and said, oh, no, Frankie Robinson, you got to come over here and play with the whites. And they probably put some pretty good money in his pocket to do it. And whites, dummies that they are, let it happen. Because we can't see the forest for the trees. All they got to do is wave a few of those fiat currencies in front of us, and we just let them do whatever the hell they want to do. So I don't know about you, but I consider that tribulation as I watch the other races flood into my white nations around the world, not just here in America, but all around the world. And they're raping and bringing in disease and causing all kinds of hardship. And it's not necessary. I call that tribulation. I think the Swedish women would say they're under tribulation. I think the Swedish men that have to watch this crap going on and feel as if their arms are tied, they should rise up and throw their bastard leaders out into the ocean. They should arrest them for treason and put them on trial. That's what they should do. Rise up, men. I know there's a few of you left. They haven't effeminized all of you. As Laura Ferrez Wilson says on her radio show, hey, folks, ain't none of us getting out of this alive. I think that is so cute. We're not. The scripture makes it quite plain. It has been appointed unto all men to die the first death. We can't do anything about that, people. Haven't you figured that out yet? You can't do anything about that. You can sign up for every kind of medical program there is out there, and they're not going to be able to give you eternal life. Do you understand? You will face the Grim Reaper. He will come for you at some point. You cannot stop it. As we've told you on this program many times, your life, that beautiful essence that resides within that temple, your body, is a gift from Father Yahweh. That's His gift to you. The fact that you're here. And I know most of you don't give one moment's thought of appreciation for your being here. All you care about is your hedonism and your entitlements. I'm going to tell you something. You should be praising that Father every day. But here's the kicker. What you do with your life is your gift back to Him. And some of you aren't going to have much to present. My European brothers and sisters, you have an assault on your nations. Your leaders are traitors. Many of them are not even ethnically your people. Just because they live in your country doesn't mean they are of you. Everything is racial. Why do you think the devil's children want you to consider race to be a non-issue? Because when you consider it and when you make it an issue, they lose. They lose power. They lose the ability to infiltrate your nation. Do you see how that works? Your leaders are not even of your kind. They are traitors to both your race and your nation, which, by the way, actually are synonyms. Nation and race are synonyms. You need to get rid of those and raise up new leaders, those of your kind. Those of your kind who are warriors. And I'm not talking about just you folks over there. My brothers and sisters here in North America need to be thinking along the same lines. And the sooner, the better. These antichrists have got things planned that are not pretty. You think the Jew communists are done with their butchering just because of all the millions they killed in China and Cambodia and Vietnam and in Tibet and elsewhere where communism's ilk has been? Do you think those butchers are done? As long as one of Satan's kids lives, they will attempt to destroy. Why? Because it's in their DNA, simpletons. Just as Christ said, you are condemned already. If you were my children, you would hear my voice. If you were of Abraham, you would love me. Christ told you quite plain, it's not our fault. Those of us who teach the identity message, it's not our fault you go to a church and listen to a 501c3 corporate seminary-taught liar get up and teach you nonsense. It's not our fault. You choose to believe that simpleton, that quack that's teaching lie after lie after lie, and setting the sheep up for slaughter, teaching the Jew is God's chosen people, blasphemy, teaching you that Jesus was a Jewish carpenter, blasphemy, teaching you that the Jews in Israel are his special people because they hold the Bible in high esteem, lie and blasphemy. They spit on the Bible. They spit on the sidewalk in front of churches. They consider Christians and the Christian faith and Christ contemptible, evil, wicked, to be destroyed. You don't think so? Yeah, you haven't done your homework yet. Shame on you. We have done our homework. We know who our enemy is. And for Alex Jones, I watched your interview with David Duke. I finally got time to watch that. And poor boy, you got a headache. You got a headache because of all the Jewish mention, all the times that David Duke mentioned the Jews. And I don't know if it was a show or is Alex really that brainwashed. Maybe he is. But it was almost comical. Oh, this is giving me a headache. All this about the Jews. Oh, David, is it just the Jews? Well, Alex, and all the rest of you morons out there, yeah, it is all about the Jews. Unbelievable how stupid some people are. You can approach it from two different directions and you still come to the same conclusion. If you come through the biblical side of things, Christ told you, John chapter 8, and many other places, when he spoke to the Jews and told them, ye are of your father the devil. He wasn't kidding. Right there in that simple verse, he's telling you who they are and who he is not. He said that they were responsible for all of the righteous blood shed from Abel on. Those are the words of Christ. So from the biblical aspect, you've got one conclusion. It's the Jews, stupid. Now let's take the historical content. Well, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock has written a book called The Synagogue of Satan. Get a copy of it. It's on the internet. Read it. He's compiled the misdoings of this misfit race of mongrels and murderers for thousands of years. He's got it in his book all the way back that we have historical records of what these miscreants have done. So now you don't even have to go through the biblical side, just go through the secular side, and you still come up with the same conclusion. Yeah, it is, Alex. And all the rest of you simpletons out there. I told gatherings here lately that I've been to of men that are trying to fix what's going wrong and to prepare for what's happening. These are good men. They've got good hearts. They got good plans. They're veterans. They know. Many of them claim to be believers. Unfortunately, they put their faith in a false religion, but they still got good hearts. But as I told them, if you allow a Jew to be part of anything you're trying to do to fix what's going on in this world, you are a fool. You are a fool. No Jew can be part of anything you're doing. And from the get-go, anybody out there, and I don't care if you're only putting together a fire team, a rifle squad of five guys, or a platoon, or a company, or a battalion. It doesn't matter what size. Doesn't matter what size. You had better figure out how to vet those people out of your organization, your fire team, your militia, your county, your sheriff's department, your political action committee. I don't care what it is. They cannot be a part of it. And there's been many people here lately calling for a boycott of all things Jewish. Hallelujah. Boycott, boycott, boycott. Don't go to their businesses. Don't go to their pseudoscience psychiatrists and psychologists, because most of them are damn Jews. And it's psychobabble anyway. It's a pseudo-science based on the Jew Sigmund Freud, and he didn't know his ass from a hole in the ground either. Excuse my French, but I'm tired of it. I am just sick and tired of all this BS. BS. Let's see. We did get somebody here. Logan 11 wrote in here, and he said, just listening to your show, thought I'd say hi. The quality of the broadcast on Eurofolk Radio is clear and crisp, but I do miss the chat room on talk show. I have not been working regularly. As a matter of fact, delivery jobs have been fewer and fewer lately. My son works for UPS, and they have been going through similar things, Logan. However, it has given me time to work on my swimming twice a week and to go to the shooting range once a week, which I joined at the beginning of the year. That's a great idea, Logan. He purchased a Smith & Wesson M&P 9mm after selling one of my Norinco Chinese-made SKS rifles and a snare drum so I can work on my tactical pistol. Excellent idea, Logan. Also, I'll be selling my Harley-Davidson. Oh, no! Money from that sale will be going towards an excellent AR platform rifle. As the Bible says, sell your cloak to buy a sword. Thank you for all you do, Pastor. Yahweh bless. Logan, if there's anything you can do to keep your Harley, I'm a fellow Harley rider myself, so I'm just teasing, Logan. Your heart's in the right place. You're right. He said sell a cloak. Obviously, a cloak in those days was an important garment that was used for quite a few things, not just to wear as a garment, but it was actually a blanket. It was used for quite a few things. So your head is in the right direction. Your Harley, I'm sure, is very meaningful to you. However, if it's a choice between a Harley and an AR rifle, then you're right. Sell your cloak and buy a sword. All the men of Israel should be taking that kind of advice. So thanks for writing in, Logan. I appreciate it very much. Get back to basics, people. I don't know how often that has to be told. Get back to basics. If you don't know any survival skills, learn them. I have been blessed to know many people in many of my travels who maintain the old ways. Many people who have not forgotten the old ways, and they're teaching them to the people willing to learn and listen. Take some time out of your busy lives and learn a skill. Learn something you can do the old-fashioned way. Because here's the thing. None of us have time to learn it all. I don't have time to learn how to do everything that we did on the farm and relearn all that. I don't know how to go out and learn how to tan hides and properly butcher a steer. Could I do it if I had to? I suppose I could, but I'd do a terrible job at it because I haven't done it in so long. The point is, every one of us can pick up a skill, a singular skill at doing something the old-fashioned way. Why is that important? Because when we get to where the arc is for each of us, and I've said this many times, I believe the ark is symbolic in this day and age because it's going to be made up of you and me. Instead of planks of wood, it's going to be made up of planks of people, networking and helping and taking care of each other. We form our ark made of people, lovers of the Father, lovers of each other with the proper spirit, loving, caring, sharing, and willing to fight and die for our families and our loved ones. That's who we are, and we work together. So your one skill can be used to barter for the skill of others. Do you see how that works? When we work together as a team, you don't need to learn it all, but you can learn how to do something. Blacksmith, silversmith, auto mechanic, carpenter, animal husbandry, butchering, tanning of hides, sewing the old-fashioned way, canning of foods, building of root cellars, food preparation, food preservation, etc., etc., etc. Learn something that you can barter with, or else you better have a great big old pile of gold and silver or something else that people will barter with if you're too lazy to learn something. I was blessed. I grew up on a farm back in the old days, so I got to see a lot of these things. We moved to the suburbs of South Jersey when I was in high school, and so I didn't get to do a whole lot of it as an adult, but as a child, I got to take part in animal husbandry, the baling of hay, the growing of crops, fishing, well water, all of that. We lived off the grid for the most part. So get back to basics, people. Learn something. Learn something. And one more tidbit here in the last few minutes. Somebody had sent me an email talking about additional signs that we are the true Israelites. I know we're the true Israelites. There's just way too many evidence. But they talked about the fact that our ancestors set up monoliths, stones, petroglyphs in their travels all through Europe and the different areas they've been. Well, we've talked on this program about the works of Stephen Collins in Royal Oak, Michigan, who has written about the travels of the Israelites and our signs of us being here. We have been in North America for over 3,500 years. That's the truth. Many of the what we call Indian tribes were the leftovers of our people who stayed here, because thousands upon thousands upon thousands of our ancestors came across the ocean in trireme ships. And trireme just means three levels of rowers, three levels of people that rowed the boat. That's how big these boats were. And they came over here and took many raw materials back to the Mediterranean. But many stayed here. And that's why their villages and their burial habits and everything mimic exactly the Israelites that stayed in Europe. Where I grew up in Pennsylvania, there's a monument in the middle of town called Standing Stone. And it's a pillar of stone that stands about between 9 and 12 feet tall. And there's engravings on it and everything else. The tradition of the town was that the Oneida Indians, that was their monolith that they carried with them in their travels, and they left it there. That's the story. To this day, it sits in the middle of town. I wish now I could go back. Well, I will go back here in the near future and take a better, closer look at the engravings on that stone. But Standing Stone, and it was known as the Stone City. And Standing Stone Monument, and the creek that runs through town is called Stone Creek. And I know because I grew up along Stone Creek, and it was our fishing hole and our swimming hole. So the Standing Stone, again, is a symbol of the Israelites and what we do when we travel. And we set up monuments to commemorate either acts of courage amongst our people, or to glorify our Heavenly Father. Again, evidence is all over the place, and I can see I'm almost out of time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We pray that you will be with all of us to give us your Holy Spirit to guide us as we say and do the things necessary to bring about a change, to bring about the destruction of Babylon. Bury it into the ground where it belongs, and out of the ashes may the phoenix of a beautiful world that you intended, may it rise up out of those ashes. Be with us, Father. Guide us in all that we say and do, and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we do ask and pray. Hallelujah.